Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to be thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Woe to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave a God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that very much.
It's one of the hymns that I grew up singing, and appreciate those words. But what I really appreciated was the way you read John 1. Carol, he read that with authority. Were you there when it was written? Wow, he knows this word. In John 1, there are there's a word for word that is logos, and we know that word. I wanted to bring this to you, and Mr. Ed has a screen there. I'm a little out of order here for what I was doing, but Tom's prompted this, so I'm going to wing it, as somebody said to do. But in the New Testament, there are two words in the Greek that mean word, that are translated word, and the first of those is logos, and we get logical from that. And it is about thought giving order or meaning. And it's in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The other word in the New Testament for word is rhema, and that means utterance or spoken word. And it's in Ephesians 6 when it talks about spiritual armor for us, that it is the sword of the God, which is the Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word or the rhema of God. And that's something that speaks to us, that when we read the Word, when we read the Logos and we get it into our hearts, then out of that God speaks to us, and that's the Rhema. And as I shared with the kids, that's the mirror then. It speaks to us. It challenges us. It tells us about who we are and what our condition is. And I'll share with, related to that looking in the mirror shock that we sometimes have, a poem for the adults by Anthony Ewer. As a beauty, I'm not a great star. There are others more handsome by far. But my face, I don't mind it, because I'm behind it. It's the others out front that I jar. As we look into the Word today, we will find the Word speaking to us. And as we hold this mirror up, let us truly receive what God is telling us about ourselves and what's inside us. The text for today is in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 to 16. Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. For the Word, that is the Logos of God, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What a gold mine we have in these passages. These five verses, I could spend a lot more time preaching on them than what I am going to today, and you can thank me for that. But just hold on. Let's go, okay? But first, we have to look back at Hebrews 4, the 7th verse, which says, today is the day. It should remind us of when Jesus sat down in the synagogue, was handed a scroll, and he read and said, then, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is the day. Very important concept scripturally to speak about, that today is the day. And this passage that says today is for 2022 as well as it was back when it was written. It's for us in the middle of a pandemic. It's for us who are facing inflation and distress and war and all those kinds of things. It's for you and for me. It's for all, and it's for all time. It's for today, every day. I want you to notice in this passage that in an overarching way that it includes both the written word of God, that is the Logos that we read and that we speak, and it also includes Jesus, who is the living Word, who speaks to us and who speaks for us and is our great high priest in that capacity. Praise His name for that. Now, not only is Jesus interceding for us and forgiving us and helping us, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is speaking to us and pierces us, as this passage says, judging us. The great German reformer Martin Luther wrote many years ago that in this text, after terrifying us, the apostle now comforts us. After pouring wine into our wound, he now pours in oil. End of quote. For you see, the Word of God is living and active. Be warned then, because it's living and active, it cannot be thwarted. We cannot hide from the Word of God. It will find us and find us out. And it tells us that it is like, it says, use the word sword, but actually that could easily be translated scalpel. It's a scalpel. The hand of a surgeon holding a fine instrument to do delicate surgery. And it tells us that it divides soul from spirit. Soul is the Greek word psyche, from which we get psychology. And then spirit is the word pneuma. It is our word for like pneumonia, which talks about things that have to do with air. But it is the Holy Spirit also. So it divides between soul and spirit. It divides between joints and marrow. It divides between thoughts and feelings or emotions. So it's a very powerful yet delicate tool that God has in his hand using on us. And if you can stand it, the writer further asserts that in front of this word that we are naked and uncovered. Very interesting Greek word here, and I've been practicing saying because it's a tongue twister. Tetrakalismenos. I think I got it right. And Barclay tells us that it means when a wrestler gets an opponent by the throat, it means that when something is skinned or flayed, it's uncovered, it's laid bare. But it's also a word that is used to describe when an executioner would bring the condemned in for execution and put the tip of the sword right under the cheekbone and hold it there with sufficient pressure that the prisoner could do nothing else but look at the executioner, face the judgment. We cannot hide from this powerful instrument or the great surgeon who holds this great instrument. Well, we might say yikes and double yikes on that. Do you remember the stinging medicine, methylate? Some of you are old enough that you remember methylate. I could say the Greek word, but I can't say that word. And my mother had the belief that if medicine didn't taste bad or hurt, it wouldn't do you any good. So, you know, you go with a scrape, and brush burns were the worst because all those exposed nerves and the methylate, you know, and you'd blow on it to cool it off, right? Because it's burned and stings so much. Well, this is the idea here. This hurts us. The work that God does, piercing us, is a painful thing for us. But it's done so that we can be healed. But because of the great power that's in the Word of God, it's no wonder that it is a bestseller, but so little read. It's no wonder that scholars constantly attack its authority. It's no wonder that it is despised by so many. It's no wonder that it's censored and banned in many places. Something that's powerful and pain-provoking must be controlled, right? We have to get our hands on it and limit it. But friends, how can we know the fatality and the futility of our human condition if we don't get the right diagnosis, if we don't look into the Word, if we don't see what it says about us and receive that? And the diagnosis may be very hard to accept, but only with the correct diagnosis of our sinful conditions can we find the cure. Jeremiah asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there a cure anywhere? And Isaiah 53 answers that question. And he is the suffering servant, and his name is Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. The living Word, Jesus, who gave himself up for us and rose from the dead for us, gives life to us, new life in him. Now, we all love Grace and Mercy. Amazing Grace is probably the best loved hymn all around the world. I wonder sometimes whether the people singing it know what they're singing about. But we love that idea. But remember that first, that living Word of God penetrates to our core and convicts us of how serious our offenses are. Not just murder, but also the hate that kills and the gossip that ruins a reputation. Not just adultery, but lust that ruins our heart. Not just thievery, but the covetousness that hates that others have something that we do not, not just greed, but our racism and sexism and all the other things that try to make others less than we are or think ourselves to be. Once we are judged rightly and enabled to recognize the depth of our own sin-filled condition, then, and only then, can we appreciate the great high priest and the grace and mercy that he brings. Aren't you in awe of him? Isn't he wonderful? Somebody say amen. I miss the choir being here because there was the amen corner over here. They would encourage me. Now that's your job, right? Come to the throne of grace. But first hear what the Word of God says about our sinful condition. Come honestly, come humbly, come acceptingly, come readily, but first be prepared to be devastated by the truth about who we really are in our hearts. We must each take our own sin very seriously because God does. Now, I was a volunteer jail chaplain for many years. I probably mentioned that when I was here before. And in part of our training, we were told that when you go into the courtroom and the judge is up on the bench, that judge is God. Whatever the judge says goes. So it's yes, sir, no, sir, as you wish, sir. Well, that's a human judge. How much more when we stand before God are we judged? And we always have to agree with him, always have to respect him. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Approach the throne of God, aware that God is God, and you are not. Now, I should get an amen for that, right? Aren't you glad you aren't God? Some people are, some people aren't, but I'm glad that I am not God. Now, there is not only a throne, and it's a mighty throne and a powerful throne, the throne above all thrones, and on it sits the king above all kings, the judge above all judges. So we come fearfully. We are humans, and we are terribly flawed. But we also can come joyfully because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. As Tom sang so well, he is the fount of every blessing. It's a throne. It's the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace and mercy. And remember, God is God, so come expecting great things from a great God. Do you remember the children's prayer we were taught very early on? God is great and God is good. And then a couple years ago, people started saying, God is good. All the time, God is good. So let the living word of God penetrate us to our core. That's what it's there to do. Let it pronounce convicting judgment upon us. And let it promulgate holiness in our lives. Let the living, resurrected word of God, Jesus Christ, overwhelm us with the same power that brought him from the dead and causes him to live again forever. Are you ready to receive grace and mercy to help in every time of need? Oh, I pray so. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you thanking you for what you have done in Christ, thanking you for your word speaking to us, thanking you for this opportunity to be together today and to worship. We ask that you, Lord, would have your way in our lives and through our lives, that you would be at work in this world. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.